interviews with haunting gurus.
Chugging a Canadian with me in the dungeon is one of the members of the unholy trinity of Chris's. There's Chris Baker, Chris Ainsworth, and my haunting guru guest, Chris Arnott.
Good evening, Mr. Baker.
The Dark Lord of Dunnett's Dark Lair. Or is it Dark Liar?
It's Lair? Dark Lair. Lair, yes.
I'm the liar. How long have you been haunting, Chris?
I've only been haunting for about 7 or 8 years.
And before that, nothing?
Before that, absolutely nothing.
So what happened 7 years ago?
About 7 or 8 years ago, we had a set of neighbors move into the house, so shortly after us. And they moved in around September, and around, you know, October 31st, I look outside, and there's tombstones on their lawn, and the two of them, a single couple, a couple with no kids, are out front dressed in costumes and scaring the living crap out of kids. And I went, wow, that looks like fun. So the next year, I kind of joined in on it, and got in a costume and did up my yard, and it just grew from there, like it usually does. It's the disease that comes out.
The gonorrhea.
Yes. Yeah, with no cure.
So that's herpes.
Yes.
Really just no cure. You can't really get rid of it. You can kind of, you know, squash it down a little bit, try to hide it.
Yes.
But it's still always there.
Yes.
So just because that couple moved in, you were like, holy shit, that looks like fun. Then the next year you guys said, we'll do a little something and we'll kind of join in. And that was it. So you live in, is it Barrie?
I live in Barrie, Ontario, and that's about an hour north of Toronto.
Prior to that, you had no knowledge of Chris Ainsworth, the Canadian Haunters people,
no.
Any of that stuff?
I started doing the home haunt thing for a couple years, and then I blame the neighbors for number one, and the second of all, I blame my mother-in-law, who happened to see a TV show on Canadian Network here. I don't know if you get it down in the States, called Party Mamas. And she said, you got to see this guy. This guy's Halloween obsessed, just like you. And I think he lives somewhere in Canada. So I watched the episode, and then I went to his website, and he was selling some of his props that he had had out the years, in years past, and was selling them. I got in touch with him, and bought a couple props off of him, and we've kind of grown to be close friends since.
And who would that be?
Chris Ainsworth.
Oh, that is Ainsworth.
That was Ainsworth. The TV superstar.
Yeah. Is he quite the pseudo celebrity up there in Canada?
Yeah, he is. Usually around Halloween time, his face is plastered all, his ugly mug's plastered all over the
airwaves. He gets a lot of
airwaves.
There's not a lot going on up there for news, I take it. So
no, he gets a lot of press because he's got quite a huge and quite an elaborate haunt, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
So first couple of years... You had the tombstones or something the first couple of years you dressed up, and then what happened the year after that?
Yeah, the first couple of years I would do, you know, the tombstones from, you know, the stores up here like Walmart, Canadian Tire and stuff. And you know, a couple of little skeletons, and then I, you know, once I found Ainsworth online, I went, oh, okay, I guess there's other stuff to look at, and I found a lot of other websites, and that blew my mind, because that opened up a whole kettle of fish with respect to the world of haunting out there in Halloween. Found some how-to stuff on how to build a fence. I built a little fence, and then, you know, over the years, it gradually grew and grew and grew and grew. And then the next turning point, I guess, would be through Chris Ainsworth, another guy from Detroit, who runs a business called Beyond the Grave Productions. And I bought a specially made zombie from him, a paramedic zombie. I took some of my old uniforms and sent them down to Dearborn for him to do, and he built me a full-size zombie. And the year after that was the first year I went to Transworld, and I think that's probably the time that it just... the floodgates just exploded.
Just blew your friggin' mind.
Yeah, that show will stick in my mind for the rest of my life, because it was just a whole different world of Halloween.
So what was your first year at Transworld? Was that about 3 years ago, or was that...
That was about 2012. was the first year I went.
So it would be about 3 years ago.
Yes, it would be.
Hey, Chris, I told you there would be no math.
My math is terrible.
So I apologize.
Especially this late in the night.
I apologize for sneaking that in on you.
Like, that's okay. Yeah.
And that was probably when I ran into you, was about 3 years ago.
Yeah, right? You guys had a Hauntcast booth, I believe, back then. Yeah. And yeah.
It's the one and only year that we had the Hauntcast
booth. Was it really?
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw it.
Dude, you know how expensive those things are? I mean,
yeah, they're very expensive.
It was a little bit of a, like, let's just double down and see what happens, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But it was fun. It was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the first prop or two that you purchased off of? Would you say that those were your first really kind of more even pro-grade props that you purchased? Were those ones off Ainsworth?
Yep. I think the first one I bought off of him was a Distortions one. It was Igor, I think. It was like the hunchback with holding the brain in his hand. I bought that for him, and I think I bought a Distortions Gargoyle from him. I think that was Distortions, but
oh, okay.
And then since before I went to Transworld, I bought a bunch of full size zombies from Brian from Beyond the Grave, and then went to Transworld, and again, like I said, it blew my mind, and I caved and actually bought my first pneumatic prop from Brent from DC.
So you popped a cherry with pneumatics.
I did.
DC props?
I did.
Hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a really, really good guy.
He is.
Fantastic customer service, too, if anyone wants to start out in pneumatic stuff. And his product's great. Like the skeletons, I've liked skeletons for forever. And his just have that different kind of characteristic. They have a little bit of life to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the facial expression, I think, that got me.
Yeah, the eye, it has like kind of those eyebrows.
Yeah, the furrowed, angry brow. And it kind of reminded me, I've told him this before, it reminded me of the movie Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Those kind of skeletons from there, and I was a big fan of that movie.
Now, what happened was, is that Steve from Fright Theater was the name of the company. He doesn't make those anymore, but he was, he actually, I think, was a sponsor on the show back about 3 or so years ago. I met him. He's a really good guy, and he's been a friend of Brent's. Like, they kind of came up through the haunting kind of ranks together.
Yeah.
And he created the mold for those. That was his thing. He created the mold where it's, if you feel it, it's like a sponge. It's almost like a Nerf ball. If it's popping out or something and it bumps somebody, it's not going to injure them because it's really like a Nerf. It just kind of bounces off you. He was making those, and then Brent was like working out a deal to buy them off of him for the certain mechanisms to add on to the mechanisms that he was selling, and then eventually he couldn't keep up with the volume that Brent was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So he just sold the molds to Brent, and now Brent sells them, and he adds them to his mechanism. So you can either buy it straight out, or you can buy the torso, you can buy the full skelly, or you can just buy the whole mechanism already pre-assembled out of the box. It's like plug and play, it's ready to go.
That's exactly it. Yeah, the first one I bought from him was the Mini Leaper, and that's one of my favorites. I don't think I'll ever get rid of.
Is that the one that comes up from behind the grave?
It comes up from behind the grave.
Does it just go all night long, or?
Well, the way I did it this year is I took a Fright Ideas, the peekaboo, and hooked all the pneumatic props up, or the two pneumatic props that I have, and the automatic motor one of the coffin that I built that opens and closes, and set that up on a loop. So if someone triggered it at the end of my driveway, it would set off a sequence, and once the sequence was done, it would take about a 30-second break. And then if someone triggered it again, it would start again.
The skelly in the coffin.
Yep.
You built that.
I built the coffin. Yep. I built the coffin.
So you do build stuff.
I do build some stuff. I don't have quite as much talent as some of the other guys out there. I'll be free and the first person to admit it. I have a very busy schedule. I have one full-time job, two part-time jobs, and then I'm raising two kids. So my spare time is minimal. So the time that I have, I take it as much as I can to build as, you know, I try to build a little, couple little things every year. Last year I built a couple wall panels. This year I built the tombstone and another one of Brent's props sits on. So I try.
Was that your first tombstone that you've?
Well, this was it was a big tombstone. It was about 2x2, I think. And then I made it out of plywood and just regular wood. Screwed it all together and put that drywall compound on it.
Yeah.
To even it out, to get rid of the wood grain and stuff. Sanded the shit out of that to make it nice and smooth, and then just painted it. And again, I went to MHC for the first time last year and took one of the.
Hey, yeah. I saw someone who looked exactly like you there.
Was it me?
Oh, shit, it was you.
Yeah, you remember that? I was the guy walking by you at the bar. Yeah. And took one of Vic Barreto's classes on distressing and stuff, and used his tips and tricks, and I think it turned out pretty good.
Oh, I didn't even realize Vic did a class there.
Yeah, he did a class on painting and distressing, and yeah.
Well, he's a big movie star now, so.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Hey, yeah. did you know that Hotcast was featured in The American Scream?
I did. Yeah, you were on a little iPod. Little picture of
that's
you.
That's all I got, man.
And your voice for about 2.5 seconds.
Dude, I was supposed to be. And actually, that was Revenant that they had.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, believe me, my voice and Revenant are night and day. But
yes.
But as far as that was, I was supposed to be. I was promised numerous times they were supposed to come out and film. We were supposed to get together. It was supposed to happen. I was definitely going to be in it. And then it all came down to it. It was like they didn't even tell me no. I wasn't in it. Next thing I know, I talked to Vic. I'm like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, oh, they already went back to California. I'm like, son of a bitch. But when I found it, I got a credit. They put the Hauntcast logo at the end in the credits, and they also at least featured the iPod, even though it was like a split second.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I can't really complain. We got something out of it. And I've actually had somebody subscribe to the show, and they said
they saw the movie,
and they go, nice. Oh, what's that? And they stumbled into Hauntcast. So we got them. We got somebody.
You snapped somebody.
Oh, yep. You know what? There was funny else that I also noticed. That you have the exact same gargoyles that I do on my columns out in the front yard.
Yeah, where are they? Distortions ones, or are they something else?
Actually, I bought mine from Halloween Asylum.
Yeah, your columns look really good, by the way.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you were.
You're very welcome, sir.
So talk about, like, what's your year like? You have very limited time, so how do you, when do you start kind of starting to plan things or figure things out, or do you just kind of, you know, buy a couple of new things and then just throw it all together at the end of the year? Or
like every haunter, I start planning usually about beginning of December. Yeah, and then, you know, take it through and plan for the next year, and then one trade show I usually go to buy what I need, and then start building. This year I started building, I think, once the kids were in school, so around the beginning of September.
I mean, I might have stuff left over from the year before that I never got to, or that I just decided, you know, I've got enough going on this year. Let's shelve those for next year. So this year I had a couple of projects that I decided to hold off on.
Yeah, that's like every haunter. There's always a huge list of things you want to do, and there's a couple things that I wanted to do this year that I never got around to.
I remember seeing somebody post about this, and they had this huge list. They were a new haunter, and they had this huge list of all these things that they were going to get done this year. And I said, you know what? What you should do is build a couple of signature pieces each year.
Yes.
Don't worry about trying to do everything in a year, because it's never going to look right. It's not. You're going to go back and have to rework it over and over and over and over again. I said, so why don't you just do this? Start off small, and it's better that way, because as your haunt grows, they see something different each year. You know, if you build like a whole thing and try to do everything all at once, and like, see, I do all this all on my own. I don't know about you.
I do it all on my own, except for when I'm setting up the, you know, a couple of days beforehand. I have some neighbors now that, you know, you do this in the community, and the neighbors start catching wind of it, and like, oh my God, I'd love to come over and help. And this year we had a couple neighbors that came over a couple days beforehand and helped me, you know, put up the wall panels, put out some drinks and pops out from the basement. And, you know, once the thing's over and done with, I had about five or six people that helped me tear it all down.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. But from the beginning of September on is me. Yeah. It's all me.
I mean, I have my kids who can help me out with a couple of little things here and there.
Yeah.
Where they're like, okay.
Painting.
No, they don't, you know, I mean, it's more like setting some stuff up. Like when I got to set up the maze in the driveway. My walkthrough is outside. It's not interior. Now, yours is in your garage.
Mine takes about half of my garage. It's just a simple, tiny little U-shaped one. I put the walk in, I think, 2 years ago. So this year is my second year I had it. I actually find is more work than the outside graveyard, for sure.
Give me a verbal walkthrough.
Okay. Well, this year, when you walk through the garage, you're met in kind of a little dungeon area or a catacomb kind of area with skull wall panels. And I had a little table set up with a couple skeletons sitting at it. And then you walk a bit further, and I had an old spirit prop that I had cut the sound to. I cut the LED lights too and just wiggled around a bit to look like a spider victim and wrapped him in some glue and some, you know, cheap spider webbing and had a giant spider sitting at the top and some skeletons kind of hanging around. And then once you walk into the next part was just a pumpkin family that I bought from Beyond the Grave again.
Oh,
and
was that the twins? The pumpkin?
Yeah, the pumpkin twins and the big pumpkin guy. That's another Beyond the Grave production thing. That's another one that I'm not going to get rid of, those two little pumpkin kids.
No, they look cool.
They look, for one, the kids love them, and number two, they look spooky as hell. So for that, those two reasons alone, it covers both ends.
Yeah, they'll never get old.
They're great. So that was, I set those up as a bit of a distraction scare. People would kind of look at them and go, oh, those look cool, and would look at kind of glance at the picture on the wall, and then the drop panel would get them. And that was a huge success. And that actually, this year, inspired me to kind of go back to the more scares than just kind of setting up the wow stuff. That actually I had a lot of fun with. So I think this year I'm going to try and add a few more scares when people walk through versus the kind of eye candy stuff that I have done. I had a few more people help me out this year, like to actually as scare actors. So that actually made me kind of go, wow, okay, I want to.
Who worked the drop panel in the
video? In the video, it was my neighbor down the street, Jeff, who did it for a good majority of the night. And he actually says he wants to come back and do it again next year. I had about two other people do it. And then actually, if you see, when you watch the video, the first person that does it is my daughter. And she, ever since I mentioned that I was going to do a drop panel and showed her some videos of other people that had done it, I think from the middle of September on till October, she was, when are you going to build the drop panel? When are you going to build the drop panel? And then as soon as I built it, she's like, I want to be in it, I want to be in it, I want to be in it. So we actually took her down to Chris Ainsworth's haunt, and he was gracious enough to let her work it for about 15, 20 minutes. And she had a blast. And she worked it for maybe half an hour on Halloween night. And I was open November 1st this year. And she did it the entire night. Little haunter in training.
I need to get my kids actually involved. They help out. They still go trick-or-treating. They're in their teens,
yep,
but they still love to go trick-or-treating.
Yep.
And then they always come back and hang out and watch everybody. Like, they really enjoy it. They just haven't been. They haven't gotten involved yet. I know it's only a matter of time. I'll get them. We'll suck
exactly
them. So how many actors do you say you have helping you out now?
This year I had three. Yeah.
And now do you think you'll have the three back and plus?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Two of the three that I had this year were actors last year as well. And I said, do you want to come back and help me out? They're like, you bet. They showed up, I think, what time did they show up? Like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and didn't leave till close to 11. Yeah, and said, if you need help the next night, come and get me. So
you went Halloween and you went the first as well because it was a Saturday?
Yep, I went the first as well. And surprisingly, years past, I had just set it up maybe the night before, like the 30th, and I might get a couple people that would show up. But this year, when I did it on the first, I don't know whether I had a little bit more coverage, like media coverage. I actually had about, it was November 1st, and I think we had about 50 people and made a lot of money, a lot more money than I expected. We made about $250 in one night on November 1st. Yeah.
You know, that's great. That leads you right into your charity. So who are you raising money for?
I raised money for the hospital here in town. When we first moved here, my wife and I, we got married back in 2001. And unfortunately, at my wedding, my mom ended up having a stroke. And we took her to the local hospital here, and that was my first exposure to it. And they were fantastic. They saved her life. Both my kids were born there. I've had, you know, family members and you know, community people around, neighbors and stuff that have gone, had great experiences. So I thought, you know what? I get enough people here. They, you know, they show up every year. I thought, well, I'll start collecting money for charity.
You are a big sweetie, you are.
I know, I'm a nice guy. So that's what my mommy says.
You know, I need to do. I need to be a nice guy. I need to change my ways. Yeah. So, what's going to be new for the lair this year? What are you adding? How much do you change up each year? Like, what's
This year, I'm going to try and the graveyard will be the graveyard. I'll probably take some stuff out that, you know, has been there for a while, and I might add a little more pneumatic stuff to the front yard. Not so much where's props. I just kind of might do it with a half coffin that I have sitting around that, you know, would make the doors kind of flutter a bit with some pneumatics. And I'm going to try and, rather than separate the two rooms like I did before, where one was kind of just a, you know, skeleton themed room and one was like an old Victorian room, I'm going to try and set it up so that it's a all one theme. I guess I've come to that point, like most haunters do, where you kind of pick a theme and go with it. This year I'm going to try and do some kind of like a haunted hotel, kind of haunted motel kind of a thing in my garage.
It is good to have that kind of continuity to have.
Yes.
It definitely is easier to plan out your home.
It is.
And to really come up with new ideas when you have a theme that I've gotten so much out of listening to my own show that it's helped my haunt dramatically. And a lot of it's just listening from like Revenant segments and from talking to other haunters. You know, you get ideas. And I finally said, you know what? All right, I need a name. I need a theme, a name. And I've got to build the entire haunt out based off of that backstory.
Yeah.
And it really does help everything come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing I was kind of thinking, is maybe making a little bit of a backstory. Yeah, this year it got kind of hard to do two different themes. It just gets, like you said, it just gets too confusing, too time consuming. Just, it makes a nice flow to have it all one theme. So that's what I'm going to try and
do. You know
what?
You're probably the only one who gives a shit. The kids probably don't give a damn.
Oh, they don't.
But
they
it
don't
helps
care.
You. It makes your life easier. And that's
gonna
what
make
really
it
matters.
Much easier.
All right. So the Canadian Haunters Association, you're now a card carrying member.
Yes. In years past, we've had what's called it was a Scarefest. And I believe you came to one of those a couple years back.
I did, because Ainsworth, you know, graciously bought me a ticket.
Yes.
I flew my ass up there. I have no idea why. he must have thought I was a big deal at that point. Now he knows I'm not.
Don't give yourself credit.
He put me up at his house. I had a great time. Yeah. I spent the entire weekend pretty much by myself drinking, and then I went to the... I flew into Toronto, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, okay, nobody can meet me. No, like, one person who could meet me doesn't drink. And I'm like, fuck that. I want to go into Toronto. So I went down to one of those main streets. It was really cool. I found a pub, started drinking, went to another one. So I'm like, I had a few, and I had a rental car. Probably not the best idea. Then I had to drive to Ainsworth Place, which is about an hour.
From downtown, it's about an hour. Yeah.
So, you know, got on the road, traveled up to his place. Then I'm realized, okay, he's still setting up that haunt that he just bought from. So I'm like, like, I'm like, okay, you guys are all down there banging nails and shit. I'm like, I got nothing else to do. I'm on vacation this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not going down there and turning screws. Screw that. So
see you later, boys.
No pun intended. But I'm going off a drink. So I bounced around all around like his local area, like right within his vicinity.
Yeah.
And just went to like bar restaurants and shit, just bopped around going to different places. And I finally ended up back at his house.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I was so hungover at Scarefest. I was like, I don't even want to be here. I don't want to pitch Hauntcast. I go, not that I didn't want to be there. You know, I was just exhausted and kind of already like, oh, man, regardless of that. So
With the Canadian Haunters Association, what we do is I'm guilty. I can't make as many pub nights as I would like because my work schedule is hectic and it's a bit of a drive and I can't drink when I'm down there because I got to drive home.
That sounds pretty useless then.
Yeah, I know. What the guys usually do is have a pub night every one Saturday out of every month and just, you know, commiserate and talk about haunting stuff and yep.
And where do you do this? At the same pub?
No, it's down at a pub in Toronto.
Are you hitting any cons or trade shows? Are you going to be at Transworld this year?
I'm debating between one or the other. I haven't made up my mind whether I'm going to go to Transworld or whether I'm going to go to MHC. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Dude, it's all
one,
about,
one
it's
or
all,
the other.
Dude, it's all about Transworld.
I know, but I had so much fun at MHC last year.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did, actually.
I didn't.
You didn't? Why, because you don't remember it?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah. I think Transworld's so much more fun. I just think the vibe
and MHC is
and the eye candy. I mean,
yes,
I did the whole floor at MHC. Like I say, not the bad mouth MHC, but I did the whole floor at MHC in an hour. I'm like, all right, I'd seen everything I wanted to see. I purchased what I wanted to buy. I'm done, you know.
Yeah.
And at least Transworld, it takes you a couple of days to get through everything. And there's so many more people and so much more going on in St. Louis. I think I don't. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me. I'm a jackass.
MHC was great because it seemed to be a little bit more of a home haunter vibe and had a lot more classes and a little less away from the sales side as Transworld.
Yeah, sometimes. No, I guess I just like the eye candy stuff.
Yes,
and all that.
I do too. Don't get me wrong, I do. I love it.
Oh, okay. So before I let you go, just curious. So where's the Hauntcast love on your website, by the way?
Hauntcast
banner on your website.
Now that it's back, I'm going to have to put one on there.
I see. You thought it was because it was gone. You didn't have to about that.
By the time I had my website made, which is like the beginning of October, you were gone. So I'm like, okay.
Oh really? Okay. Okay. I excuse you.
You were gone from my life.
All right, now you can go and grab a banner off the site and slap it up there.
I will. That's one thing I've been negligent on is updating the website. I haven't touched it in a couple.
Show us some love.
I will.
Wow, it's all about Canada this episode. We've got Brad Goodspeed on. We got you on. Holy shit. The Canadian invasion. God
that's right.
Damn it.
We're invading. Look out.
Look out, E.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Hey, anything else you want to plug? Why don't you tell people where they can catch your videos, where they can find your website, and all that shite?
Yep. The best place to get me is on Facebook at Donuts Dark Lair. I also have a website that I kind of have to update. I'm kind of bad with that, but that's...
especially your links page.
I know. I will get on that as soon as I can.
I'm such a promotion whore. Now that we're back up and running.
I knew you'd be back. I asked you at MHC. I said, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to give it up for a bit. I'm like, whatever. I knew you'd be back.
I needed a breather. That's all.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like doing the subscription thing. It was just something that kind of fell into. And then when we decided that it was time to bring it back to for free and to try to just take it easy and... You know, all I can guarantee for right now is we'll do it quarterly. You know, and that should be enough to give everybody the little fix every once in a while. You know,
that's good because I miss listening to the podcast on the anytime I'd work a night shift and come back on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning. That's what I'd listen to. So now that it's there, I'm happy.
Sweet. No more. I knew you were a loyal minion. That's not why I had you on either. Because I have a lot of people on who don't have a clue what. Who are you and why? What show is this?
Yeah,
that's okay, man. As long as I get content and I can fill my half hour, I'm all set.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Chris.
Cool.
Hey, you know what? We'll see you at Transworld. You're going to Transworld.
Come on,
Ainsworth is going to Transworld.
I know he is. I know he is. And
so just. Transworld. Dude, you can hang out with me, JT, Revenant. Come on. Denny's going to be there.
Are they?
Ed Gannon will be there. Dick Terhune. We'll have almost the entire Scream team there except for Shelly.
Sweet.
Anyway, all right, Chris.
Cool. Nice talking to you. Glad you're back.
All right. We'll catch you in St. Louis. St. Louis.
You likely will, yes.
All right. Later.
Okay, cheers.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.